Hello everyone and welcome to the webinar. Elena is here and she asks that you all please hold your questions until she's finished with her actual presentation. If you'd like to type them in, I can hold them for later. Or if you're having any technical difficulties, please let us know. Brett and I are here on staff and we can help you through that. So right now, let me switch the presenter over to Elena so she can start with the meditation. Okay, Elena, you should have. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you, BL. Hello, everybody, and welcome. And as usual, we will start with a short alignment of the group field. So please make yourself comfortable. Clear your fields. Focus the attention in the head. And imagine the light of the soul pouring through the mental body, integrating the personality. So focus towards the three lower fields. Imagine the white golden light illuminating the mental body, sounding the Om. Purifying the astral body, strengthening the etheric body, visualize the threefold personality as being unified with the white light. Personality soul fusion. See the lower triangle representing the personality with the mental body at the apex and physical and astral bodies at the base of the triangle. Imagine the apex of the triangle is pointing upwards. Above the lower triangle, see the brightly lit higher triangle representing the soul with its apex pointing downwards. And by an act of the will, see these two triangles merging together and forming a six-pointed star. See the six-pointed star as a shining sun, representing the soul-infused personality. And sound the silent Om to confirm this fusion. Group alignment. Visualize a sphere of pure white light and the group members as miniature shining suns inside and around the sphere. See a sphere of light linking the heart centers of all the group members. A sphere of light linking the head centers. And a sphere of light linking the Ajna centers of all the group members. Imagine the light rapidly circulating through these three spheres and aligning the three group centers. Ajna, heart, and head into one mind, one soul, and one will. To confirm the group alignment, we sound the Om as a group. Om. Thank you. Before we start, we will read together the group, the instruction for CDP, which it was recommended that you read it prior to the webinar. But to refresh our memories, we will read it together again. And the instruction is found in Dana 1, page 507, and it's given to CDP in June 1934. And it is the third instruction. Okay, DK start with addressing the disciple, brother of mine. You are facing up to your crisis and to your final test of fitness for accepted discipleship. There is little that I can say to you, except that with understanding, watch and wait. This is not the time for further words, for it is the time in which you must take action. You say to yourself time and time again, if there were some one thing I could do to break the prison of thoughts in which I find myself, how easy it would be and how quickly I would do it. But my brother, there is just such a simple thing, and yet until you do it, you cannot walk in the light. Also, until you do it, and this is a group endeavor, you hold back this group of co-disciples from fuller revelation and service. The simple rule is talk less and love more. Will you understand me when I say that symbolically and psychologically your fight must be fought out in your garden? Will you comprehend me when I tell you that only love can free you? Not love of yourself or a freeing of yourself through the desperation over your own unhappiness. Not love of those you so easily love, but the very love of your soul must be called in. And therefore, soul contact is your solution. Persist it in steadily throughout each day. Meditate, therefore, upon love. Say to yourself each hour, if you can develop that time consciousness, I must love. Only one request do I make to you, my brother, and that is one that may puzzle you. Sit still every day without fail for 1 hour, refusing to interrupt that hour's silence and stillness. Simply relax, rest, read, and think happily, but let nothing except real emergency, no wild or unconditioned fear, no suspicion or urge to investigate, permit you to break into the rhythm of that period. Sit still, not tense, but quiet and relaxed. It is but a small thing to request, but if you conform to this requirement, the results may be more potent than you think. It is an hour for thinking love, for pondering upon the source of this interested, detached soul love. Study along these lines if you like, but sit still. Love and quietness, not the resentment or restlessness, are your immediate task, and in the achieving of these two things, you will solve your problem and liberate yourself. Silence, serenity, and loving service to all, without exception, and without thought of self. These should be the keynotes of your life during the coming months. Restlessness and resentment, self-pity and suspicion are your present problems. Substitute love for these and all will be well. You evoke love in many. This means that you have the gift of love. Use that power to love and break your chains in order to serve with freedom and to go forward in my group of disciples to greater usefulness. I stand by. Now, we're going to now discuss what is he actually telling her there. CDP was facing what I consider the most important crisis in her life. Related to the transference from the second stage of the six stages of discipleship, that of Chela in the light, to the third stage, that of accepted discipleship, which starts at the middle point between the first and second initiation. And if she succeeds to take her final test of fitness, she will become an accepted disciple, technically understood. Now, this middle point marks the beginning of what I call the second major stage of the path of accepted discipleship. And this second stage ends with the mental polarization between the second and third initiation and contains two substages, where one of them marks the taking of the second initiation, which was in front of her. It is from the middle point between the first and second initiation that her true and more conscious preparation for the second initiation would start. So she was moving through crises, which for her, as the disciple entering the accepted discipleship, will produce intensification of illumination and of the heart's center activity and more stabilized attitude of detachment, which for her was the major quality which she needed to develop in that life, based upon conscious renunciation of the personality and its right orientation to the soul, producing an increased power of control by the soul. And we must understand this process, taking more than one life, and is entirely depending upon the application of a disciple. In this case, you know, we are talking about CDP. Now, BL, would you please put up the natal chart?
There you go.
Well, I don't see it.
Okay. hide your
Hide my
documents.
Okay, just a moment. Okay. Could you make it a little bit bigger, or is this the bigger make it? Okay, that's better, thank you. Now, intensification is related to Scorpio, and renunciation or withdrawing of energy is related to Pisces, and illumination to Taurus. And we see she has Pluto, ruler of Pisces and Scorpio, and Mars, ruler of Scorpio, in conjunction in Taurus. Could you point that out? Yes, thank you. That is the Mars-Pluto conjunction in Taurus. Okay? Now, if you can put now the quadra wheel. And bringing the day there for July 1933, it means going backwards to July 1933, where we see a Pluto transiting in Cancer. Start to activate this conjunction of Mars, the natal Mars Pluto, which we were looking inside the wheel there. Natal there. And this activation by the transiting Pluto is from that year, 1933, until 1939, almost just prior to her death. And during the same time, the transiting Pluto is going over the solar arc Mars, Mars, right? And the progressed Venus in the second house. Okay. Second house of illumination, and indicating the process of soul, Venus, and personality, Mars, fusion process. Okay. We note that this alignment between the transiting Pluto, solar arc Mars, and progressed Venus is occurring in the Pisces decanate of Cancer, and thus confirming the renunciation or withdrawal in relation to the Pisces energy from the form in relation to Cancer. Okay. Now, if you bring back the natal chart, crisis is related particularly to the planets Saturn and Moon, and test to Mars and Scorpio. And looking at her natal chart, we see that Mars is making square to that Saturn. And Moon is placed in Scorpio. Okay? Now, Moon represents the fourth test of Scorpio, or first test of the desire or astral body related to fear. and through its placement of the moon in 12 Scorpio 21, marks the fourth of the ninth division of Scorpio on nine heads of Hydra. Okay, put up the quadra wheel back for the June 15, 1934. And DK is telling her that she had to fight the battle, which is represented by the energy of the Mars, on the outer or physical plane alone. We see the progressing Mars through the first house, right? Which represents the physical plane. Moon, the other planet related to the physical plane, is placed natally in Scorpio, the signs of tests and trials, and by solar arc progression is in opposition from the seventh house of other people to the progressing Mars in the first house, representing herself, the house of identity, okay? Identity of oneself and identity of others across in the seventh house. The progressed Mars is making a trine to the progressed Saturn. Progressed Saturn in the ninth house through the 8th degree. Okay, that is the trine, very important aspect here. And making an opposition, that Mars, progressed Mars, to the solar arc moon across in Capricorn, right? And all three, Mars, Saturn, and the moon, are in aspect to the natal Mercury, which is also at the 8th degree, right? So we have 8th degree, almost exact alignment of these energies there, okay? Emphasizing the involvement of the mind and her prison of thoughts through the Saturn in Pisces, okay? Now, Mars-Saturn aspects are the most challenging and difficult to handle because they bring together two very opposing energies, okay? Even though here they are in a trine aspect by progression, it is the natal square, which we looked at first, which is the primary conditioning energy. And a square is very challenging, and having a challenging energies in aspect of square, you know, is extremely difficult combination of energies. Now, the progressed Mars is in its fall in Cancer, okay, indicating lack of physical fighting courage due to strong emotional love of the sixth-ray solar plexus there, and a challenge to access and use the soul courage of sure knowledge and soul love to help her to fight the battle. Okay? And courage is one of her primary keywords in her development formula standing behind the first capital letter C, CDP, right? This is further influenced and modified by the progressed Mars opposition to the solar arc moon, which is ruling Cancer And Cancer is her ascendant, which is making the moon very important planet. And this solar arc moon is moving through Capricorn. And further, the progressed Mars is also going to make an opposition to the approaching progressing moon, moving into Cancer and making its exact opposition to the progressed Mars in July 1935. Are you bringing that there?
Nope, I will. Hold on.
Just that the people see it, what I am talking about. That actually that progress Mars is aspecting a moon from two different progressions, solar arc and the progressing moon, right? So you see the alignment, even the transiting moon is at that moment there, across to that Mars, okay? Now, moon is in detriment in Capricorn, and thus indicates lessening of the hold of the personality and increasing of the power of the soul. So there is a, through this process she is going on, there is continuous shifting of levels, because she is transiting from one stage of consciousness to another. Now, the progressed Saturn, also like the Mars, is in aspect to the progressing moon and the solar arc moon in Capricorn, where Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn. So beside the aspect, there is a further relationship of Saturn to that Capricorn moons. Saturn also rules the seventh house, which is ruled by Capricorn. Okay? And through which the both moons are moving. Saturn also rules the eighth house, which is ruled by Capricorn, and it is related to the Scorpio, because it's a Scorpio house, and automatically to the placement of the moon in Scorpio natally, representing the test. Okay? So this progressed Mars-Saturn aspect is the major conditioning energy behind her final test of fitness for accepted discipleship, signified by the moon in Pisces decanate of Scorpio, where Mars is the ruler of Scorpio, and the natal progressed and transiting Saturn in the ninth house is in Pisces. So we have another powerful alignment of energies through this Mars-Saturn aspect. Okay? I have gone into greater detail of analyzing this Mars-Saturn contact because of its major importance. Now, transiting Neptune is going through Virgo at the IC, okay? And it's activating all these four planets, the progress Mars and Saturn, natal Mercury, the solar arc moon, and the progressed moon plus the natal MCIC axis. So through that Neptune, there is another powerful alignment of all these energies, because the Neptune is also the esoteric ruler of her Cancer ascendant, and it transits through Virgo, where Neptune is the esoteric ruler of Virgo, which the Moon as esoteric ruler is veiling. Moon, esoteric ruler of Virgo, veiling Neptune. Okay? So we have basically relationship between the axes here, ICMC and the ascendant descendant. It means the major relationship of the whole chart, of the angles of the chart. Whenever are the planets ruling the ascendant in aspect to each other by progression or transit, it marks the time of great importance in our lives. And as we see for CDP, the Moon and Neptune are the rulers not only of her Cancer ascendant, but also of the Pisces Virgo MCIC, which happens to be in Cancer Capricorn decanates. It means Cancer decanate of Pisces on MC and Capricorn decanate of Virgo. Another alignment of energies, and indicate a major change in direction and orientation towards her soul, towards the ashram represented by the fourth house or IC, where that Neptune is making transition, and Moon veiling Neptune is the esoteric ruler, as I said, of that fourth house, supported by the transiting Jupiter in Libra over the solar arc Uranus in that fourth house. And this combination in that fourth house of ashram.
Do you want me to go back to 1934?
Well, I thought you were there.
No, no? I'm in 1935.
No, okay. Are you back now, 1934?
Now I am.
So you see that transiting Jupiter there over that Uranus in the fourth house? This is the signature of the master, Jupiter Uranus, the house of the ashram, which is our spiritual home. Okay? So it is also indicating initiation of a new relationship towards the master and towards her soul. Jupiter is the ruler of her second ray soul. So there is again a number of new relationships here and transitional energies. Okay? Now we look at the transiting Chiron in Gemini in the 12th house. It is conjuncting solar arc Mercury. And the natal Venus, which are both rulers of the 12th house. Taurus and Gemini, Venus, Taurus, Mercury, Gemini, ruling the 12th house. And over, there is an alignment between that Chiron, Mercury, Venus. Okay? at 4 degree of Gemini, remembering that when we're talking about transit, it is going back and forward, okay? Even it is not seen in exact 4 degree, that's Chiron at the moment, but it is a process. And all of these are square the natal Saturn at 4 degree in Pisces. And semi-sextile progressed Neptune at 4 degree Taurus. Another powerful alignment of energies, indicating initiating process of a transmutation and shifting of mental focus from the lower concrete mind into the higher mind, involving Mercury and Saturn, and desire mind or kama manas into the sun of mind or soul mind, involving Venus in Gemini. Now, the progressed Sun Earth at 17 degree Gemini Sagittarius across the 12 six houses, indicating adjustment and work on subjective levels, are in aspect to the natal Neptune at 2 degree Taurus, which is the esoteric ruler of the Cancer ascendant, and in aspect to the progressed Uranus ascendant conjunction in Leo, the 17 degree, okay? 17 degree conjunction Uranus progressed to progressed ascendant from the Sun Earth polarity, which makes a semi square to that natal Neptune, that Sun. Okay. DK is telling her that she has to fight her battle symbolically and psychologically in her garden, upon the mental plane, for which she need to utilize both the planetary and ray energies from the soul levels of expression to break her thought forms, ancient thought forms, which were holding her in prison, the 12th house of prison, okay? Now, when DK is using a particular words, he is leading us somewhere. So he is talking about symbol, symbolic battle. The symbols are invoking intuition here. And as a result, the heart center in the head, ruled by Neptune, is becoming more active. Okay, during this stage, we are considering this process of accepted discipleship stage. And thus, the strengthening of the Buddhic connection. Okay. Psychology is related to the seven rays. So the rays which she was utilizing in building of her garden, which we discussed in the last webinar, which were the rays primarily second and sixth, but 2-4-6 alignment in relation to her own 2-4-6 ray alignment. So here we are using through the words symbology and psychology, okay, the planets, Like when we were, if you remember those of you who were present, that, for example, Venus was ruling the beauty, the flowers, the perfume. Okay? Just to refresh our memories. And the transiting Neptune, which we see moving through Virgo, is grounding at the IC, the love of the soul, which will free her from her prison. Because the Venus in the 12th house, squaring that Saturn in Pisces, as the ruler of Capricorn decanate of the Virgo IC relationship here. Okay? And through that Neptune in relation to the heart, in the head, it is also the Buddhic love involved here, okay, which is becoming active together with the soul love. Now we note that all the ascendants are being activated in this chart. That is extremely unusual to find in the chart. But, you know, this chart is really unique in the alignment of energies from every direction. Progression, transits, natally, and if we look at all these alignments, BL, if you just focus that how I am going to bring them up, that the natal and progressed Uranus is conjuncting the progressed ascendant in Leo. The transiting Uranus conjuncting the solar arc Saturn at the 0 degree of Taurus, making both of them are trine the solar arc ascendant, which is actually exact in September 1934. Okay? I know it's a little bit time consuming, you know, to go through this, but it's good that you see this, that it is actually happening. The progressed full moon Gemini Sagittarius, which is activated in August-September 1933, activated the progressed ascendant. You need to bring
the chart.
Do you
want me to go to, okay, September 1933?
Yes. Because it is good that people see the full moon across from the Gemini to Sagittarius. Full moon, right? At 17, 16 degree, it's activating the progressed ascendant in Leo. The same degree. Okay? And because we are talking about a process of a life, you see, these aspects are happening, you know, not exactly when the instruction we're looking at, but also prior to it and after it, okay? So, at the same time, the transiting Jupiter, her second ray soul planet, you see it there, is activating her natal ascendant. Well, you have the degree of the ascendant wrong, but never mind. The ascendant is 3 degrees something. Okay?
Oh, is it? So I've got the wrong chart up here?
Never mind. It's not important to such a degree that, you know, the planets are in the right places. And the transit of the Jupiter, again, is moving towards that activation. Even at the moment, is at the 1 degree there, if I see it correctly, Libra?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So through its transit, it is activating the natal ascendant. Okay? Now, the transiting Saturn in the ninth house, would you move the chart to the March 1935. You see that Saturn at 3 degree Pisces, it makes a solar return to the natal Saturn. Okay? And it's making a trine aspect to the natal ascendant in March 1935 is the first contact of the transiting Saturn to its own place, which we call Saturn return. Okay? A very significant significant happening, okay, second Saturn return, to which I would refer further later. And the last contact is the progressed moon, ruler of the Cancer ascendant, entering Capricorn and reaching the opposition to the natal ascendant and trine the solar arc ascendant starting in October 1934. Do you have the chart in October 1934?
Nope. Let me get it back there. I'm in March of 1935.
Yes. Because then, you know, people would look what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So progressed moon is entering Capricorn. It's right on the angles I see, ascendant, descendant, right? And it's opposition, the natal ascendant. Okay. And it's making a trine aspect to the solar arc ascendant. Okay? As it is entering that Capricorn. Okay? So we see that from so many directions and from the very important planets, all the ascendants are being activated. And for me, it also indicates that the rectification of the chart is pretty close in order for this to happen, that all the angles and all the ascendants by progression and are being activated here. And it is not surprising during the major transitional crisis in life of this disciple. Okay? So these energetic relationships indicate major changes in her life. of transformation, transmutation, shifting of consciousness, and mental focus on different levels, new way of utilizing of the mind, spiritual opportunity of more conscious recognition and utilization of the soul love in creative expression and in her relationships. Because she was relating to those she loved as personalities, not as souls, you see. And this is initiating a major transformation in this process, to begin to see the soul in these people and relate to them as souls, not as personalities. It's part of her test here and the battle. Okay? Now, what are the astrological signatures now of this transference from the Chela inner light, where she was, moving to accepted discipleship? Now, the first major signature is the second Saturn return. Okay? And the Saturn, which we don't need to look at it, but it makes three exact contacts to its natal place through the year 1935, March, October, and December. Okay? But we're not going to move the chart for that purpose. I am only mentioning it. Okay? It is up to you now to go into detail with these processes and look, in your own time with all these contacts here. It's not easy to digest it, you know, everything at the moment. We note that at the time of the solar return, the Saturn, contacting that natal Saturn at the fourth degree of Pisces, is going to activate the T square between that Saturn, Venus, and Jupiter, involving also the Mars in this T square. Venus-Mars conjunction, square Saturn, and opposition Jupiter. And Saturn squared the Jupiter too. Okay? That's the second Saturn return, activating also the most important T square in her natal chart. Okay? The progressed solar arc moon also, it's going to be activated through the transiting Saturn, which would be moving further on from the fourth degree towards the MC then, okay? And so it's going to activate the progressed and solar arc moons, which we already looked at. Also, the natal and progressed Neptune at the 2 and 4 degrees there of Taurus. One is natal at 2 degrees and one is at 4 degrees, the progressed, okay? And also the progressed Mars Saturn trine, when it reaches the 8 degrees there, that transiting Saturn, okay, through Pisces in the 9th house, okay? And the natal Mercury, which is also at the 8 degrees, and thus making contacts with that Saturn Mars progressed trine. Okay? Because we're dealing with the thoughts here and with the mind and transition of the levels of the mind. Now, the second major signature of this transition is a solar eclipse. And this is, I want you to put the chart on August 10, 1934. And we see the solar eclipse happening at the 17 degree Leo there. Leo. Leo.
Give me a minute.
You see the sun there in, and the moon there in Leo? That's the solar eclipse falling exactly on the Uranus ascendant progressed conjunction, the natal Uranus itself, and it's aspecting the progressed Sun in 17 degree Gemini with the Earth 17 degree Sagittarius. This is a major significant signature of in relation to this transition from the second to the third stage of discipleship. Okay? And this 17 degree of Leo is falling in Sagittarian decanate of Leo. You see the relationship to that Gemini Sagittarian axis there again? Okay. And the Sun and Earth in that Gemini Sagittarian opposition there are the rulers. Sun rule Leo, where that solar eclipse is happening. And Earth is the esoteric ruler of Sagittarius, okay, which is the Sagittarian decanate of that Leo solar eclipse. And the Uranus ascendant, a major progression conjunction there, okay? As the solar eclipse, you see, the lower self or personality ego is minimized. And we are able to enter the dimension of the higher self or soul. And this is giving her the opportunity to shift the focus of the consciousness to a higher level an identity with a larger being or reality. Okay? The solar eclipse is also falling on the pointer Merak, which we were dealing with the pointers in great details. Those of you who attend these webinars remember. And which is at the 17 degree of Leo. Okay? And this is further adding to the energies of the solar eclipse and the Uranus ascendant conjunction and the Sun in Gemini Sagittarius axis with the Earth. Okay? So both solar eclipse and Merak represents the soul here. And thus we have a powerful activation of soul energy, which she had to utilize in the battle to free herself, Uranian energy of freedom, from the old prisons of thoughts, mainly represented by that Saturn in Pisces, which we have already looked at. That is why DK is telling her that the love of her soul has to be called in, and therefore soul contact was a solution. Persisted, Sagittarian energy of persistence and one-pointedness throughout each day, as we read in the instruction. Now the third major signature of these transitional stages is the Gemini Sagittarian Mercury triangle, which are the expression of Pleiades. You can look for yourself what DK say about it in Esoteric Astrology, page 466, which enabled the disciple to pass from probationary discipleship onto accepted discipleship. Okay? Now I will give you my own understanding of this triangle in relation to the Pleiades, with the understanding that the probationary discipleship covered the stages of the little chelaship and a chela in the light, moving on to the third stage of accepted discipleship, where we are told that the disciple is becoming increasingly intuitive, where I see the involvement of the Sagittarius of that triangle as one of the intuitive signs, where Mercury in relation to Sagittarius is in its detriment, indicating lessening of the concrete mind and increasing of intuition. The disciple is becoming one-pointed, entirely one-pointed, and that is the Sagittarian six-ray one-pointed persistent energy. The nature of the pairs of opposites represented by Gemini is becoming clearer to him through the illumination of the mind, through focus upon the soul and clarification of the vision upon the astral plane, where Sagittarius is representing the vision, is one of the signs of vision, and it is also conditioning the astral plane. The relation of the mother or mind aspect as embodied in Pleiades and of the Christ child through Mercury relating Gemini to Virgo, where Mercury in Virgo has its exaltation, indicating the peak of development of the concrete mind or mother, which is coming under the rulership of her son, the son of mind or soul, the soul mind. Virgo is related to the birth of the Christ, hidden within the form of the personality. The birth of the Christ child upon the physical plane is the consummating glory of the Gemini. And that is why the secret of Gemini has to be grasped at the first initiation. There is a growing conscious life of the soul's purpose, instituting the process of initial identification through the Neptune as a soul ruler of Virgo, with a soul on its own plane. The little self or personality begins to react consciously and with increasing frequency to the higher self or solar angel and bringing about a soul personality fusion. I have put my own interpreting energies to this triangle. Gemini, Sagittarius, Mercury, as an expression of the Pleiades, with the understanding, which I'm sure many of you know, that the Pleiades represents both the mind, but also the body. So, as we have already seen, through the activation of the heart in the head, in relation to the body, both these energies of soul love and body love, and both of the heart centers are being activated through this process. Okay? You can look at it yourself and come to your own understanding here. But what is emerging through this, that it is the first degree initiate who is entering the third stage of six stages of discipleship, that of accepted discipleship, technically understood at this stage of the path. Okay? And it is at this stage where the conscious, more conscious preparation for the second initiation starts, which this disciple was moving to. Okay? The fourth signature of this transference is represented by two planets, Mercury and Saturn, which are the planets of accepted discipleship. And linking Aries, where Mercury is the esoteric ruler, Aries, higher mental plane, and Capricorn, Saturn, esoteric ruler of Capricorn, the major sign of initiation. We can enlarge further on this, like Capricorn or Aries, but I am bringing the major focal points here to complicate the matters. We see she has Mercury in Aries natally, okay, at the 8th degree there. In the 10th house, which is a Capricorn house, it means indicating a process where the lower mind is becoming stable and focused, and the higher mind is growing in power. Okay. The 10th house, you know, is the highest elevation of the chart area. Okay. Where that Mercury in Aries is found, and it indicates the higher mental plane and the polarization of the mind there. Not the technical polarization between the second and third initiation, but a mental focus. And that is related to that Saturn in the ninth house as a ruler of Capricorn, where the ninth house represents also the higher mind. Okay? So, here, again, focus on that Saturn in Pisces, you see, once the battle is won through that prison of thoughts and the fear, it is the blockages of that Saturn which holds her in prison will go away and clear her vision. The Sagittarius energy of that ninth house, and develop, she will develop the detachment in order to take the second initiation. But, you see, it was very unlikely to happen in that life. But the process, the major initiating process towards that, is being initiated in this life. Because, you see, again, in relation to this triangle of Gemini, Sagittarius, Mercury, and Pleiades, we have the major aspects to that mental energy, the progressed and transiting Saturn is activating the natal, progressed, and solar arc Mercury. Okay? Do you find that?
No.
Transiting Saturn in the ninth house, progressed Saturn in the ninth house at 8 degrees, Mercury natally 8 degrees. The solar arc Mercury is in Gemini. And the transiting Saturn also activates the progressed Mercury in the 12th house there. So all the Mercuries in relation to the lower and higher mind, even touching the intuitive mind, are being activated. Okay? And now, how we are doing with the time? Can I proceed?
It's 5:19. Well, it's you've got 20 or what, 10 minutes left?
Okay. Well, I start with something which I might not finish, but I will bring this point that there are a number of important points and initiating processes, you see, as I am emphasizing that, emerging in this third stage of accepted discipleship. And you know, those of you who study this Dyna books, and particularly this stage of accepted discipleship, know that the keynote of this stage is the establishing of a contact with the master in meditation. And DK is telling us that it is the task of the disciple of the master himself to evoke the direct response and the conscious reaction of the disciple. And at the same time, the master is looking for impersonality in the disciple, not only in connection to him as a master, but also to the disciple's dealings with his co-workers. So, a conscious process of development of impersonality starts at this stage, as was the case with CDP, who needed to develop detachment, which is closely related to impersonality. Because the detachment is related to the emotional nature and desire, where the emotions which are normally self-centered and personal must be transmuted into the realization of impersonality. That is why DK is equating for her dispassion as one of the keywords in her development formula under the capital letter D, CDP, with detachment. He's equating dispassion with detachment, impersonality, and spiritual indifference or divine carelessness. For her, his words. At this stage, the direct contact with the master's mind for the disciple is only possible occasionally during the meditation, at a moment of great tension where occurs a momentary fusion of the minds of the disciple and of the master. And this can only occur when the mental focus is so steady and so firmly directed in intention that emotional reactions or interference from the personality are eliminated. So this necessarily involves the controlled solar plexus, which at this stage the disciple is only in process of developing and controlling as she is prepared for the second initiation. We are here talking about mental telepathy between the master's abstract mind and the disciple's concrete mind. So the master depends upon the use of the antakarana, which the disciple is in a process of building between the lower concrete mind and the higher abstract mind. These contacts are related to the plan and service. So each of the six stages of discipleship enables the disciple to see the plan from the angle of the ashram and of the master with increasing clarity. And at this third stage, that of accepted discipleship, the disciple, as he grasps the plan and its various aspects presented to him in ashram, begins to modify it on the mental plane so that it is gradually accepted by humanity. He begins to transform the basic idea into accepted ideal. For the chela in the light, from where she is moving from, the vibration of the ashram is focused for the disciple at that stage through meditation by the senior disciple in charge of the disciple. So we have again a major shift here, where there is an initiating of a direct aspect of the between the disciple and the master, but how fleeting it is. It is depending, you know, on the meditative focus of that disciple. And it can happen only very rarely and occasionally. And it is always related to service, to the hierarchical impressions and service and ashram. Necessarily, as I say, conditioned by the degree of achieved soul contact and its stability, which at this third stage is beginning to be more consciously developed. Greater understanding will come when we realize that this third stage represents the first substage of what I call the second major stage of the path of accepted discipleship. Okay? Which ends with a mental polarization, technically understood, between the second and third initiation. So we're talking a quite a process here of more than one life. Okay? Now at this point, in order not to enter something else, I will conclude the presentation. Thank you.
You want to ask if anybody's got any questions before
we start? Yes, yes. If there are any comments or questions, I'm happy to.
Okay, we do have. Suzanne asks, what importance, if any, do you give to retrogrades in the charts of disciple, natal and beyond?
Well, it is not a question directly related to this topic, but I will deal with this astrological point, not only of retrogression, but of intercepted signs and the houses where they are occurring. But just to briefly make a comment to this question, retrograding planets is moving towards the inner levels when we are upon the spiritual path. Okay? It means it can be utilized best and more positively through, for example, meditation or focus on the soul level, because that is its major and strongest expression in its retrograde motion.
Okay. I don't think we have any other questions. Are you there, Elena?
Yes, I am here. I am waiting if there's any more comments.
Okay. No, I don't see any more. So thank you very much.
I also thank you very much, everybody, for your patience through this not easy, I would say, presentation, and it needs, a time for pondering, digesting, and, which needs time.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody, and thank you, Brett, and good night.
And good night from me.